Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We are listening to some Cuban music from the era when it was great Cuban music, before the bearded one took over the island. It is Cachao. C-A-C-H-A-O, passed away at the age of 90. These musicians live long. I don't understand it. They smoke, they drink rum, they run around, they're in clubs all night long. Everything your mother said would kill you young, they all live to 90, 95 in Cuba. How's that? Must be the Cuban cigar. I don't know. I don't smoke myself. And I don't go to clubs at night. That's probably why I'll drop dead any day. I mean, if I did go... What if I was out every night dancing? I'd be happier. I probably live to 90, but whatever. So we're not going to talk about Cuba right off the bat. We're going to talk about the movie, The Interview, and should Sony have caved and such. And we're going to talk about Cuba in the third hour of the show today on The Savage Nation. Let's have another Cuban piece of music. I'm already depressed because the music went off.
You are listening to live music direct from Havana, Cuba, by Senor Michael Savage. We are liberated from the Yankee. We have a fellow communista in the White House. We are happy. Our brother, Obama, has freed us from the Yankee terrorism.
All right, enough already. I must tell you that the movie The Interview, you know, that's a big story. They're going to lose $200 million in sales. It couldn't happen to a bunch of nicer guys. You know, Lin Yutang wrote, one of my favorite authors, a Chinese-American author, Lin Yutang, the happiness, whatever, something about living, I don't remember. I was 18, I was depressed, I found this book. Oh, The Importance of Living. And in The Importance of Living, I was really down, I was going through the sufferings of young Werther, and I was reading very widely, and I found this book, actually through a friend's father in his library. The friend and I were playing Latin music in his bedroom, as a matter of fact, and the father came storming up. His father was a classical musician, played in New York Philharmonic. He hated what the kids, conga drums and this and that. Kid was smoking dope day and night. He threw his drums out of the window. But in his library, he had a book that I discovered. He was a very well-written man called The Importance of Living. And one of the things that struck me in The Importance of Living was how we have to remember we have animal bodies. And we mustn't just live in our heads. He said, remember you fundamentally have a monkey body, is what he said. Meaning, you have to be sensual in order to be happy. And that means he wrote chapters of the Chinese point of view, the classical Chinese point of view, on sitting in chairs, on reading a book, on drinking wine, you know, that kind of stuff. And one of the things was, happiness consists not in the high flights of poets, but in getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof. That always stuck with me. Now, I don't get my hair cut every 2 weeks, nor do I have many neighbors who fall off their roofs, but I understand the metaphor. So when we see the two of the Rat Pack in Hollywood, the new Hollywood Rat Pack, Seth Rogen and the other guy, I have nothing for or against. And they're talented guys, but big deal. A lot of people are talented. That their movie went up in smoke, and they're now surrounded by bodyguards. It leads you to ask a question. The question is, which country is next going to threaten Hollywood? And which movies will they not be making? This is why you never see movies with Arab terrorists, or rarely. It's because the Caesars of Hollywood are afraid of them. And so the only targets permissible to attack for the Caesars of Hollywood are white Christian males, their stock and trade. After all, haven't they been attacking and mocking white Christian males for at least 50 years, 40 years now? So expect more movies attacking white Christian males in the near future. Let's play the trailer to this movie, The Interview, the beginning of it. Let's hear what it sounded like.
Hello, who this?
This is the Secretary of Communication for North Korea. Our Supreme Leader, Kim Jong-un, is interested in doing an interview with Dave Skylark.
Oh, my God.
We will meet 50 kilometers west of Dangdong, northeastern China.
Did you just say China? And did you just say Dong?
3 weeks from tonight, I will be traveling to Pyongyang, North Korea, to interview President Kim Jong-un.
Mr. Rappaport, I'm Agent Lacey with Central Intelligence. You two are going to be in a room alone with Kim, and the CIA would love it if you could take him out. Take him out.
For coffee?
Dinner.
For kimchi?
No, take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What? Hello, North Korea!
I've watched every episode of your show in preparation for this interview. I particularly enjoyed the Miley Cyrus Kemultol episode.
Wow.
Very deep.
All right, you get the drift. It's just slapstick comedy from the younger generation. Seth's a funny guy. I think, I don't know who the director is. It could have been Judd Apatow. I don't really know. He's a funny guy. Does funny movies. I mean, I laugh at a lot of these movies. But apparently the orgy scene with Kim Jong-un and James Franco, not to be confused with Generalissimo Franco, I don't think he's his grandson, might have caused concern. So they went over the top. They picked on a mad dictator who has nuclear weapons, who wouldn't have had nuclear weapons, by the way, with multiple warheads, was it not for Bill Clinton's chief donor. And Bill Clinton's chief donor has a name, who we will name shortly. He's a guy from the Bronx who went in the parking meter business, made a fortune in the parking meter business. Then, because he gave more money to Bill Clinton and the DNC than anybody else, he was able to get access to American technology for launching satellites with our rockets. See, Korea could not launch the rockets, nor could China. Their rockets were blowing up on the launch pads. But thanks to that wonderful man from the Bronx, Bill Clinton's chief donor and the chief donor of the Democrat National Committee, he launched rockets with satellites for China. He said it would never, ever be used for weaponry. Of course, the rest is history. It's only been used for weaponry. As a result of the technology he stole from the U.S. government, they're now able to launch rockets with multiple nuclear warheads. So you can thank the Democrats again for putting us at risk. It's, you know, like what goes around comes around. It's a long story that you don't know anything about. The orgy scene with Kim Jong-un and James Franco might have caused concern. There's a lot of other vile stuff in there about Kim Jong-un, and he probably deserves it given that it's a police state and people's organs are removed for saying the wrong thing about him. But the fact is, it's censorship, and who's going to next threaten us? The Arabs? The Muslim terrorists? As I said, anyone can threaten Hollywood now, and the only ones that are going to be able to be attacked will be the white Christian male. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. So let's start the show again, and I'm going to talk about a totally different topic. Let's go to the next song on The Savage Nation. You know, the image of the conservative right-winger is a fat guy who's bald, who can't dance, smokes cigars and eats greasy meals, and is near a heart attack from the age 13 onward. Impotent. Women don't like them, you know, that kind of thing. That's the image of the Republican, which is why young people don't like Republicans, especially right-wing talk show hosts. Well, all of that doesn't relate to me at all. I could actually dance on two. And the thing is, here's what I want to talk about on the Savage Nation today. And I know it's going to be weird. It's going to be a whack job. Like, where did he come from now? Why is he doing this? No, I'm not going to talk about clinical biochemistry. It's something I could do. I could talk about tyramine, and it can raise blood pressure and cause cardiac arrhythmias and stroke, and how to avoid tyramine in foods. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm planning 2015 now. I'm always a few months ahead of myself. And I'm thinking ahead to 2015, and I'm saying, you know what? Politics are the bread and butter of the Savage Nation. I've always been the man promoting borders, language, and culture for 20 years. But, you know, the election was over in November. We know that we have a one-party system. We know that we have an oligarchy. We know that Obama's an out-of-control egomaniac. We know that John Boehner is a useless opposition. We know that the press has been sold out a long time ago. We know all of that. So to hear it every day is boring to you. I'm going to continue to do the news where the news is of some shock value and you need to talk about it, like today with the movie, okay? But you know what I'm going to be doing next year? You're going to help me know what I'm going to be doing next year. Because I know what I'm going to be doing, but you're going to help shape what I'm going to be doing. I'm moving more into the diversity or versatility of topics that I'm famous for. And I want you to call the show right now at 855-407-2822. And I want you to tell everyone listening to the show what you'd like me to be doing in addition to politics. I didn't say instead of. I said in addition to politics in 2015. Because I can spin on a dime. I can go from talking about politics to talking about, well, just about anything that I'm familiar with. because I have a wide knowledge base. It goes back to my natural curiosity, not solely my higher education, which is quite extensive, but my natural curiosity. You know, there are many people who are not formally educated who have natural curiosity and have read widely. Remember what I just said, read widely. Something not understood in this day and age was, in the old days when a person was going for a higher degree, like a PhD, they would say she was reading for her exams. That's how it was put. She was reading for her exams. That's how you worked for your PhD. You read for your exams. You had to read a wide variety of books and then be able to talk about it in some rational, literate manner. Now you say, well, okay, that's book knowledge, which is the problem with Obama and many others in that egghead administration. They may have book knowledge, but they don't really understand the world they live in, and they're very mean people like most academics are, mean and petty. But what if you have a wide book knowledge and you have street knowledge? And what if you've been very curious about life since you're very young and you've read widely and you've inquired widely and you're interested in a lot of things, as I am? So what topics would you like me to do? I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this. I have a man who has called my show for about 18 years. He used to listen to me on the local station KSFO. He is a palm reader, Vernon Mahalal. And we don't meet. I never met the gentleman, but I've sent him a Xerox of my palm. And I know many of you are devout Christians or devout Jews, and you know that palmistry is forbidden by the Bible. Okay, not my problem, because I'm open to any area of any avenue of learning or any avenue of energy that will lead me to a higher power and a higher understanding of myself on this earth. Which is why I spent so many years in the islands and working with folk healers, and you want to call them witch doctors. They weren't witch doctors at all. And you want to mess around with folk healers? You want to mess around with gypsies? Go ahead. Be my guest. Go and insult a gypsy fortune teller anytime you feel like doing it. Because I'll tell you a little story about gypsies one day, as told to me by a very famous Chinese martial artist who insulted one of them and what happened to him. There are powers you have to understand that go beyond the rational on this earth. And many of you understand that. I am going to be moving a little bit more into the areas of... Remember the lifestyle shows I used to do on this show? Remember I would be Doc Savage and you'd call me with a problem, a question like, Mike, I'm 28 years old, I want to get married, but... And I would be the older brother, older father, uncle, and answer your questions. Sort of like a lifestyle coach. You say, well, what's your qualifications? My qualifications are that people trust me and they want to ask me my opinion. It's that simple. Many people don't have a father in this society. Many people don't have an older brother in this society. They don't have the uncle in the society that used to exist. So I play those roles on the radio for many people, and it's a role I'm very comfortable in. I can help people. I'm a healer. I have a natural healer's ability. I've always been a healer. Although I'm sort of an isolated personality and live largely on my own, I like to help people who get close to me. Any people I let near me, I try to make certain they benefit from the relationship. I don't like anyone who comes near me to walk away with a deficit. I want them all to walk away with a positive. You know what I'm saying? That's what I try to do. Am I successful at it all the time? No. I can be a very, very mean person. I can be an irascible person. I lose my temper very easily. I don't have the patience for things. And so as a result, I tend to stay alone with the dog. He puts up with me. And he never asks for anything I can't give him. It's that simple. I know exactly what Teddy wants. I'm more comfortable with dogs and animals of any kind. I like to feed seagulls. I like to see them fight over a bagel. I like to watch the Darwinian struggle over a bagel that I throw into the bay. It always impresses me that if I throw three bagels into the water and there are two birds, they will fight over the same bagel. They will not go to two different bagels. One will go to a bagel. The second one will try to grab it out of his mouth. A third one will swoop in and try to get the first bagel while the other two bagels are floating away. It's called the territorial imperative. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, today called the Latin Nation. Pacheco, Agua de Clavelito. I used to remember going to these dances in the 50s, stopping at the Palladium Ballroom on 53rd Street and Broadway in New York City above the Rexall's drugstore. And it became famous for its Latin music from 1948 until it closed in 66. I was there in the late 50s, early 60s. And my father would catch me coming home late at night and say, "You'll never amount to anything. What are you listening to that garbage music for?" All right, Dad, I hope you're looking down from heaven and you're smiling. But the fact of the matter is, this is an interesting story unto itself. This was originally a dance hall that had a racially restrictive policy in the 40s that did not permit blacks and Puerto Ricans into the club. And it almost went out of business. And then some Jewish owners bought it and opened it up to all races, and the thing was a boom hit. The club was owned by Max Hyman and his wife Helen, an heiress to the Otis Elevator Company. And they started booking Latin music there. And the rest is history. If you know what I'm talking about, Machito, Arsenio Rodriguez, Tito Rodriguez, Tito Puente, Pacheco, Fajardo, whatever.
Savage.
You know, I used to say when I was in my sufferings of your young Vertha phase as a young 18-year-old, all guys go through it, that whenever I'd hear this Latin music, my spirits would go way up. In other words, whatever was bothering me left me. So I was very, very invested in it. I learned how to play the conga drum. I was never good at it, but I can certainly beat the drum. And I used to love to dance, and my father thought I would amount to nothing as a result because he said only a bum listens to music like that. And I remember writing in my journal at that time, how can I be, what did I write, a conga-playing, mambo-dancing professional? I didn't understand if I could do, how do you do that? I didn't know how to bridge the gap. Now, today people do all of it. I mean, there are neurosurgeons who are musicians, right? And this is not an unusual thing today. A lot of guys came up through that whole period and were able to incorporate their artistic side and their scientific side, you know what I'm saying, a spiritual side. But in the days that I was living, and I was coming from an immigrant family, they were panicked that you wouldn't amount to anything if you were having too good a time, in other words. They didn't want you to have a good time. Miserable. Life's a black and white, gray experience. It's like North Korea. I grew up in like North Korea. That house was like, this is North Korea. There's no pleasure here. No laughter, no phonographs, no records. See, I would go to work with my father in his car as a young kid. I turned the radio on. My hands were freezing. He wouldn't put the heater on because he wanted me to be tough. And I would, I click my left hand from the, to put the radio on. No music. I said, what do you mean no music? I just want to go. No. He said, you're going to work today. It's not a day of fun. Okay. And if I had fun on the drive in over the bridge, I mean, would that hurt you? I wasn't going to say that to him. But let me finish the dance stuff and tell you where I'm going today on the Savage Nation. And it's not like it's a politics-free day. I already did the movie and that stuff. And I'm so tired of Obama. You know, let him just go to Honolulu. Maybe he could just move there. Maybe he could move on and just stay there forever and just send us his memos maybe he can move to Cuba since he has blood brothers there. He can move to Cuba and send memos from Havana. And then he really will be our man in Havana if you read the Graham Greene novel as I did in college. But in those days, in this nightclub, this is a very interesting little point, and I'm going to move on. The big three musicians in those days, who became so big it set off a mambo craze in the whole country, there was Machito, Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez. But what was different then than today is that one of the bands would play one set, then the next band would step in, not missing a beat, and then finally the third band would blend right in. And you didn't know when one band left and another one began. There were no DJs playing in between sets. Today you go to a nightclub and the guys play 20 minutes. They're off for 20 minutes, you know, and you got records, but not then. It was nonstop, fast, fast, fast. And you came out, if you even didn't even have a drink, you came out just flying, you know what I'm saying, high as a kite on the natch. So it's a little background to where I'm coming from. I was a much happier kid than I am a man, but that's typically natural. Isn't that natural of a person to be happier when they're younger? I don't know, you know. So then you go into life and you get into more serious stuff and you think you're going to save the world. You're going to be a serious guy. And you try the best you can. And, you know, I've written 30 books. I've done radio shows for 20 years, earned a lot of higher degrees, which I'm extremely proud of. And the fact is now I am at a fork in the road. I'm at a fork in the road because I've achieved almost everything I ever wanted to achieve. It doesn't matter whether the next guy's show is bigger than mine or smaller than mine. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is where I go from here. God has given me extra years. I never thought I'd be this age. That's number one. I really thought I wouldn't pass 20 years ago would be the end of the road. I did. I just had this fatalistic thing, you know, young deaths from coronary in the family, and that's what I was obsessed with, the fountain of youth and nutrition and herbal medicine and learning everything I could about health. So at the end of the day, I've been very fortunate, A, because I've been practicing what I preach by and large, more so 20 years ago than today. I've slipped a little. But aside from that, I've been lucky. I mean, genetically, the LPA is what I told you about. I had no idea about LPA in those days. All we know is HDL, LDL. Very few of you know what LPA is, but you can't correct it with any nutrition or any medicine. There's not a drug on earth that can change your LPA levels. I found it only 2-3 years ago about LPA, lipoprotein A, which is the life-saving of the lipoproteins, and either you are genetically lucky with it or you're not, and that's the end of it. I found out I must have gotten my mother's LPA levels, but here I am. And so I say, okay, what am I going to do for my audience in 2015 and beyond, assuming I'll be here in 2015 and beyond? Well, I said, okay, one of the things I like to do is the lifestyle shows, right? And you call in with your questions. I do nutrition, literature, poetry, science, art, whatever I want to talk about. The history of clowns, food, cooking, you know about that. I like that part of me because everything can be political, but not everything needs to be political, right? So I recently started doing watercolors again, and I'm terrible at them. I mean, I'm not really good at them. They're primitive, childlike watercolors, but I enjoy what it's doing for my mind. I only painted the last time it was in the 1980s, if you can believe it. The last watercolors I did were in 1982, and I picked up a brush two months ago around Thanksgiving, and I'm painting pictures again. And you know what it's doing? My words are becoming different on the radio. They're becoming more florid and more colorful. That's what I find. My use of language is a little more florid as a result of painting with watercolors, which is amazing. So I'm going to ask you what you, who love this show, would like me to be doing in 2015. And I want to emphasize, in addition to politics, I'm not changing it. I'm not going to go away from borders, language, and culture. I'm not, because I'm really good at that, and I can see things clearly. I've been gifted with the ability to see things as they are and somewhat see things as they will be. And I'm not going to move away from that. I'm also gifted with the ability to analyze in a way that you can understand things quickly, because I can do things rapidly because of all the years of scientific training and scientific writing. I can do it quickly and succinctly. Now, I want to tell you what happened today. Out of the blue, I'm leaving for Los Angeles right after the show. So I feel like a kid about to go on a trip. I got the magazines in the briefcase already for the airplane, the vitamins. You know, the whole thing, it's all been packed. It's waiting. The roller's there, the wheels. I'm excited. I'm like a kid getting ready to go on to the Lehigh Valley Railroad to go to Pennsylvania to visit my cousins and, you know, and getting out of school early. That's how I feel. Because it's around the holidays. I could just feel it anyway, and everyone's feeling it. They all want a relief from the news. They know it's so awful. ISIS raping young children and murdering women and pregnant. And Obama does nothing but lie every day. You don't know what to do. You turn away from the horror of what America has become under this dastardly administration that is so cowardly and spineless towards dictators and so mean towards the American voter and so mean to the opposition party. Nevertheless, there's only so much I can take of that. And therefore, I know it's the same for you. So this morning, I get an email, and it comes from this Vernon Mahalal, who's a palm reader, as I told you. And he says, Michael, I hear you're going to be in L.A. Let me get together with you, read your palm. I said, look, Vernon, I don't know how long I'm going to be there. Maybe there a day or two. I don't know. I said, could you read my palm through the mail? He said, well, I'd rather do it in person. I said, come on, you have my handprint. I faxed it to you a while. So I said, send it to me. About 40 minutes later, he sends me back an email that's so, he said, call me. Because I want to see what he says with the palm, right? So he sends me back the thing. He says, you have the most wonderful year ahead coming. I hope he's right. And he said, I see a total emergence of the loving side of your nature in 2015. You're going to help people in hugely different ways than you've been doing so. He said, of course you're going to be on the radio, but you're going to be doing more of what you've been doing in the lifestyle area. You're going to help people. You're going to become, he didn't use the word guru, because that word is antiquated and has negative connotations. He said, more on the line of the Anthony Robbins, you know, kind of helping people cope with life and things of that nature. He said, they trust you because you know what you're talking about, and they know you know what you're talking about. So I said, well, I don't want to do big events. He said, no, you're going to do smaller events with people. And that's what he saw. But he said, your heart is going to open up, and you're going to become, the love that's inside your being is going to come out. That's nice stuff to hear, right? So who knows what, you know, what's going to be. So that was one thing. So I said, you know, I got to go on the radio today and ask my audience what they would like, you know, me to be talking about in the year to come, in addition to all the stuff that I normally do, right? So before I move on, I want you to know that I certainly, I'm a God-fearing man, and I live with God every second of my life. And I also have gone to fortune tellers. I have gone to a palmist, such as Vernon. I have read horoscopes on a daily basis. And to me, whichever can lead me to the truth or lead me to the higher self, I'll follow. His institute is the palmistryinstitute.com, by the way, if you want to, you know, contact this fellow. And he said, yep, he said, you're going to see a year of amazing changes in your life. You're not going to believe what you're seeing. He said, you're not going to believe what's coming. Large-scale live events such as you did years ago, but in a different way. He said, that's what's coming. So things like that. And he said, life's going to be more satisfying for you, and all the love that's inherently in you will be pouring out of you to your audience, is what he said. So on that note, I got to tell you, I really would rather do a little bit more of you telling me what you would like me to do for you on the airwaves in the next year to come, if God wants me to be here on the earth and on the radio. And so I'll take a few callers on this. Dave in Detroit on WJR. Dave, what would you like to hear more of on the Savage Nation?
If you playing a small theater, not small theater, but 1,000-seat playhouses, intimate, the others do that. The Hemorrhoid does that. You could do that, but that's in theater. But on the air, I want to continue to hear the politics, but mix it with the humor and the nostalgia that you do so well.
You mean, of course, I don't want to get stuck with hatred and anger. That's the greatest dead end in radio. In other words, anyone can have righteous indignation 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week. But how much can you take of another man's righteous indignation? Do you want to hear that day and night?
No, because...
No, I'm not interested in the other man's righteous indignation. I have enough of my own. So why would I tune in to listen to that?
Well, for balance.
See, I just gave you a Cuban dance step. I did a quick version of what I'm trying to say. In other words, I am also righteously indignant as what is being done to my country. But how much do you want to hear of it? What, I have to wear it on my shoulder? I have to walk around with it like a stripe on my shoulder? I'm indignant today over what Obama's done? That's not good radio from my point of view. So I'm asking you, what would you like me to do? ABC, New York City, Joe, what do you want to hear on the radio?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I'll be very honest with you, which I always am. I love when you do your nutrition thing and your Dr. Unsavage. You have enlightened me so much about the fava beans and all that. And to tell my grandmother, who's 5'8" with a mole on her chin, when I told her that, she threw me out of the house.
What mole on the chin?
No, my grandmother. She's about 89 years old. She got a mole on her chin. And when I told her, you can't eat the fava beans, they could kill you, she threw me out. So I got to go to confession and able to go back.
Oh, you mean you told her what I told you about fava beans?
Yes.
All right, but no, here's the thing about this. This is a very important point. I wrote about this in 1981 in The Skeptical Nutritionist. And I had discovered in the literature an illness called fava bean hemolysis. And it is not something that all ethnic groups suffer from. Fava bean hemolysis is prevalent in only certain subpopulations of people. It's not widely found in all people. In other words, most Italians don't suffer from internal bleeding after they eat fava beans, or else they would have cast this food aside as a toxic poison. You follow me? So your grandmother was right. The reason she got this old and lived long enough to have a mole on her cheek is that she could eat fava beans and not die from them.
Do what you do, but I love when you're Dr. Unsavage. That is so great. I love the nutrition thing. And believe it or not, you taught me a lot of stuff that I didn't know about. You shouldn't keep the things in the refrigerator. Like you said, the coffee in the Frigidaire, we've kept it in there for years. And now you're telling me we shouldn't do it.
Well, it takes the flavor away.
Yeah, who knew that? And then my potatoes, now I know why they're all black at the bottom of the drawer.
There you go. They're rotting. Joe, you know something? I don't know you. You sound eerily like an old friend of mine who passed away a number of years ago. You're like a person I knew. It's amazing to me. And you grew up in New York City. It's not just a New York accent, Joe, but you have a certain... Which borough did you grow up in?
Downtown Brooklyn, where all the mafias hung out.
God. Is that a loaded statement, or is that just a passing statement?
No, it's loaded and it passes.
All right, buddy. Can you spare a dime?
Yes, I'll give you a quarter, but I'm going to charge you 6 points.
You see how quick you are, Joe? How many people could come back with a fast one like that?
Nobody. Me and you.
Joe, I'm sending you a Christmas present. Don't you dare show it to your mother, your grandmother, who probably loves Obama. I'm sending you Stop the Coming Civil War. I guarantee you most of your family are Democrats, right? Where is he? No, no. Why'd you hang up on him? Where is Joe? Are you back?
I'm here.
I bet most of your family are Democrats, right?
They are, and they tell me to shut up or go home because my mother says you make my stomach get agitated. Shut up. I don't want to.
I love it, Joe. Joe, I'm sending you the book. Stay on the line. As the old woman in black said to me when I first arrived in San Francisco in North Beach in 1974, there used to be old women dressed in all black. She said to me, I don't know, mister. She said, there's nothing a little coffee, a little wine, and a little garlic can't cure. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. I'm feeling good. What do you want from me? Want me to eat my heart out over Obama? So we're talking about what you want me to do in 2015, and we got amazing callers on the line. Here's an announcement that you didn't know I was going to announce today. I've been waiting for the right moment. In 2015, Michael Savage will be giving out conservative scholarship awards to college students. What does it mean to be an American will be the essay that they have to write. There'll be a panel of people who judge it. And I'll tell you much more about it as the year emerges in 2015. But the conservative scholarship awards will be given out on this show over through 2015. The exact amounts of the awards I will announce, how to apply, etc. You must be enrolled in a two-year college. I want it to be the kids who didn't get a good start in life. And then you must prove acceptance or application to a four-year college. You must prove financial need. You must be a U.S. citizen, and you must write your essay in English.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And turned everything political. So as the West is dying, what is rising is the question. Spengler predicted in the early 1900s about the death of the West. And he predicted that eventually the Asiatics would take over the world. This was in around 1910, if I remember my reading from many years ago. Otto Spengler, The Death of the West. So what could be better to portray how the West is dying than reading this that just came out of England, a little news story. EU court rules that fatness can constitute a disability. EU court ruling means that British bosses will be required to treat obese workers as disabled, providing them with larger seats, special parking spaces, and other facilities. Did you hear this? If you're fat, that's a disability now. It's a disability, according to the emerging communist EU. So what does that mean for the West? It means that the West is dying at a faster rate than you can ever imagine. I don't mind if you're a fat slob, but it's not a disability. It means you're a pig. Unless you have a glandular problem. You always use like glandular. So you couldn't ridicule the person. Like when I was a kid, if someone was obese, they said, like, no, don't ridicule him. He's got a glandular. All right, so there are people who have a glandular problem. But most obese people are just self-indulgent slobs. It's not glandular. They're lazy. They sit around and they don't walk. They don't work. So that's it. That's obesity. Don't call me on this. That's not what I'm going to talk. I'm giving an example of how the West is dying. That's one example of the West. What sane nation on earth would treat a self-indulgent fat person as a protected class? when the Taliban are burning teachers alive in Pakistan and shooting children. This is all they got to worry about in the EU? Fatness can constitute a disability? This is all that's on their mind. While the Taliban are murdering little boys and raping little girls, this is what's on their mind in England. Unbelievable to me. So that's why I say there's only so much indignation that I can take. And there's only so much pain that you can take. And that's what I'm saying. What would you like me to talk about in 2015 in addition to politics? I talked about the whole first hour was about somewhat to do with that, you know, on the Savage Nation. And you can't believe the callers I have. Now, let's start with some of the advice of what they want me to talk about. Bernie on WABC in New York, tell me what you want me to talk about in 2015.
Mike, I want you to continue to talk about your past. Even though I'm younger than you and we come from totally different ethnic backgrounds, you open up your soul and you make me laugh and cry when I think about my childhood.
You mean when I talk about dead man's pants, which were real, I wore dead man's pants, that's something that touched you?
And your mother sitting at the table making the crumbs.
Oh, when the women would sit around when I was a little kid and the women would be in the kitchen with the oilcloth, with the coffee cake, with the coffee, and they'd be sifting the crumbs, talking all afternoon about their problems. They didn't need a psychiatrist. They didn't need pills. They didn't need Valium. They didn't need Milltown. They would talk with each other and sift the crumbs. At the end of it, they'd all go home. They knew how to deal with their lives because they helped each other.
Absolutely.
Today, there's no friendship like that. It's all like getting over on someone and seeing what you can get out of them.
Yep. And I grew up in Queens Village. You grew up near Utopia Parkway, Alley Pond Park, when you talk about it.
Yeah, and what was your background like? Tough? Did you have a rough background?
No, I grew up in a third-generation Italian household. My grandparents lived with me.
Yeah, but that way, yeah. They lived with you, so you had a whole different upbringing in that sense. They brought the old world to you, right?
Absolutely. My grandfather used to make wine.
I used to envy the Italians in my neighborhood. You know, we lived in an attached house when they got the money together, they moved out of the Bronx, the South Bronx, Longfellow Avenue. They moved to Queens, an attached house, a rental, right? Then when my father saved a little more money, bought a little teeny attached house, 20 feet and 100 feet the lot. You know how they were, those attached brick houses. But down at the end of the street, four or five blocks later, toward the Long Island Expressway, there were larger houses that had been around a long time, you know, not fancy, with bigger lots. And they were owned by Italian people who grew grapes in the backyard, which I envied. I had no idea that you could grow a grape. I didn't even know that the grape grew. I thought it came out of a package.
Well, my grandfather didn't grow grapes, but he had a wine cellar in the first house he bought. It was a bungalow before I was born. And they used to go from Brooklyn out to Queens Village.
Well, but did you guys crush the grapes? I knew kids who would crush the grapes. The Italian friends would crush the grapes in their grandfather's house. Walking around in the grapes, I couldn't believe it. I didn't know that that was even done.
Oh, my grandfather, he had the press.
Oh, well, that was better. You saved on shoes. All right, Bernie. Thanks for that. So he wants more nostalgia. KSFO, San Francisco. Mike, what do you want to hear more of in 2015 on the Savage Nation?
Dr. Savage, first off, congratulations and much admiration on the announcement of your scholarship program.
Well, I'm going to talk much more about it in January, not today. I just wanted to mention it. Okay, what it means to be an American in an essay. Wait till you see what people send in.
And as far as 2015, I find myself somewhat kindred to you in many respects, but in particular, your love affair with the automobile and your amateur historic interest in affaires du militaire.
Yes, amateur is correct, but I'm very intrigued by military history. And, of course, what is our military history today as it is being written under Barack Obama, the greatest commander-in-chief in his own mind?
It's rather frightening, if you ask me.
Yeah, this is the commander-in-chief. He puts a woman in charge of the Navy who can't pilot a rowboat. He puts a woman in charge of the Air Force who can't fly a Piper Cub. What next will this monster do to our military? That's the military history of today.
It's
beyond belief. He purged all of the wartime generals. He has yes men at every level. What kind of military can be left? I'm surprised men can still fly fighter jets and attack ISIS. Where'd they come from? How come they haven't been purged by the girls' choir?
I think it's the fact that he has put in these places men who are loyal to the party and not the country is a most...
Gee, that sounds familiar. Loyal to the party. Sieg Heil.
Yes, very...
loyal to the party. Do you have your party card? Right, let me show me your party card. So what would you like me to, in 2015, you want me more about cars and military history, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to hear you expound on the significance of the Jaguar XJ120 or the importance of Hyman Rickover to our Navy.
Okay, very good. Mike, I will do more of that in 2015. I've had a love affair with cars ever since I've been a boy. The first car I ever had, let me tell you the story. 17 years old. Naturally car crazy, dying to get my first car so I could take girls out and make out in my own car. But the thing was, I mean, a car was freedom, right? And what does a boy want a car for? There's only one thing on his mind, to show off and meet girls. It wasn't to go to work and deliver newspapers. So the first car my father bought me, I could remember it to this day. It was a rainy day in the evening, and he said, Michael, come out and look in the street. I don't know the year. I really don't know. But it was a used Oldsmobile two-door salesman's car that they called it in those days. It was dark green. I think it was a stick shift. I don't really remember. I remember sitting with him in the car in the front seat, not even starting the engine, just sitting and watching the rain fall on the glass as father turned the keys over to his son. It's those kind of days that stay with you. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's a beautiful day. It's just something I remember. Now, he couldn't afford a new car, and he wouldn't buy a new car for a number of reasons. He would say, I said, Dad, why don't you buy a car on credit? Credit? What, are you crazy? That's cheating. That's how he looked at it in those days. Would you believe it? He was an immigrant guy, worked his way up to a little store and a house, did very nicely for himself. Never a rich man, but he always had the working man, the immigrant working man's values, which he passed on to me, which I have to this day. Ask people who know me. I have extravagance in some regard, but most of the time I live very, very low. I don't wear jewelry. I don't take rich vacations. I just don't do it because I don't like it. I did some of it when I was young. I don't care for it. I'm a homebody. I'm very much like an old world person in that regard. I much prefer my own house to anywhere else on earth. You give me the fanciest hotel on earth, I'd rather be in my own bed at night. Would you believe it? Food, I'd rather eat my own food, but I can't because I can't cook day and night. And restaurants I have a love-hate affair with. It's very hard to get what I need in restaurants today because everything's being doctored. Either too much salt to cover up an off flavor or too much pepper. The latest thing was the white pepper, wherever you go. They put white pepper on it where your intestines are burnt out. What's the white pepper for? Where's that coming from in California? Who brought that into the culinary armamentarium? I hate pepper. And I'll tell you a study you should look into, by the way. Black pepper, piper nigrum. And I don't want to alarm you, but, you know, I love to come to a restaurant with, every time you order a meal, the guy comes around with the long thing with the pepper in it. They stick it in your face. Pepper? No! Go away from me. It looks like a bazooka. What are you sticking it in my face for? If I want pepper, there's a pepper shaker. I want the pepper. First of all, most of the pepper in there is old anyway. You think, oh, it's fresh because he's got the long bazooka in his hand. But piper nigrum is somewhat mildly carcinogenic, incidentally. Be careful. Watch out for the black pepper. It's not the health food that you may think it is. I've avoided it most of my life after reading studies in the early, late 70s. There's some literature on it. Look up black pepper and cancer. Just see what you find. Do a Google. Today, you don't have to go to a medical library as I used to do. I remember I used to have to go to UC Med Center here in California, in San Francisco. If I wanted to research something, and I would do it once a week, even after I was out of graduate school, I'd go to UC Med Center because I love the smell of old books. I like walking through the stacks. I like seeing journals and fields I wasn't even an expert in just to read them. Neurology, you know, whatever it was, parasitology. It was fascinating. I don't have the time for it nor the inclination. But today, with the internet, I don't have to leave the house. You do a search on anything without leaving your house. It's astounding. And that's the wonder of the internet. You know, it's easy to say, oh, it's terrible. It's lowered the education value and people are stupid. It's not true. It's not true. It's that people are moving at warp speed with knowledge. The trick is to incorporate it without getting lost in it, you know. Like, how much knowledge can there be? How much do you need to know? Well, you follow your interests and you won't get lost in it. But nevertheless, cooking and food and this, I'm interested in it all. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're talking about where you want Michael Savage to go with the show. In addition to politics, borders, language, and culture in 2015, because I'm a versatile man. I bring versatility to the airwaves. That is where I am going to go with the show. You know, like right now, I've run through 75 minutes of radio. I feel as though I just went on the air 3 minutes ago. Ask Robert and Jim. I'm seeing them on Skype in Dallas. I'm in San Francisco. I cover the camera where they can see me because I'm sitting in nude. No, I'm joking. I'm actually dressed in the morning. That, you know, it's a little difference in the time zone. So they always test the equipment first thing in the morning. And I have a Skype set up in my home studios. So I come in, I'm in pajamas and a bathrobe. I haven't had coffee yet. I put like a post-it over the camera. The guy says, how come there's a post-it over the camera? I said, don't ask, okay? Just, what are we doing today, guys? What'd you get for me? What's the sound? Whatever. No, I'm actually dressed right now. WABC Rick, go ahead. What would you like me to talk about more in the next year?
Michael, you and I had a great conversation a couple of months ago about King Lear. And recently, or just a couple of minutes ago, last hour, you mentioned one of my favorite novelists, Graham Greene. I know you yourself are a novelist, and I'm trying to get my first novel published. I'd like to hear more literary discourse on the Savage Nation in 2015.
You know, that's a very good topic. It's one that I think the average listener would not be interested in, but I'm very interested in it. Where it's sort of relevant to the times or such. I had a friend send me an email saying, why don't you do more interviews with screenwriters? I think I once had the screenwriter on for the film Munich. Do you remember that a number of years ago? Did you happen to hear that interview?
I didn't hear the interview, but it's a fantastic.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was astounding. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Spielberg directed it. It's one of the most astonishing films ever done. Have you seen the movie Munich?
It's an excellent movie. Yeah, actually, I own the DVD.
Do you remember the scene where the Israeli secret special forces dress up as women in burqas? It's the ballsiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they walk right into the hornet's nest of PLO strong camp, a camp of PLO in Lebanon, because they're going to go whack some of the top leaders of the PLO. Remember that scene? The guys are dressed up in burqas, the Israelis. They look like women, and they wave them into the property, whereupon they pull out their Uzis and start whacking people. It's one of the most amazingly orchestrated scenes I've ever seen in movie history. Now, the leader of that phenomenal event was a former prime minister of Israel. Do you know who that was?
The leader, one of the actual agents or the person?
Yes, one of the Israeli agents who was dressed up as a woman, high heels, the burqa, with the machine gun under the burqa, was then became a prime minister of Israel. And it's not Netanyahu. It was another one. His name was, does anyone know? Raise your hand if you know who that was. No one knows. His name was Barack something. Yeah, that's right. His name was Barack, not Obama, but. Okay. Ehud Barak, right. Ehud Barak. His name was Ehud Barak. He was actual warrior. And he was not a very great prime minister, incidentally. Very often you see warriors become political leaders, and they're not as good on the political front as they were on the military front. That's a truth. Not all the time. I mean, you had Eisenhower, who was the supreme Allied commander, and he was a tremendous leader in World War I and a tremendous supreme Allied commander and a great president. That's the rarity. It's the exception, not the rule. When I come back, I'll take more of your calls on this subject. But I want to, before I'm not leaving, because I want to tell you this. It is the holiday time, and you want to take the stress out of shopping and get something delicious. You know what I'm going to say, because I'm crazy about Shari's Berries. Holiday gifts, how can you do it? Right online. Simple, the most delicious gift you could ever give anybody. I shouldn't even talk about it, because I'm going to start to eat one right now. What are they? It's chocolate-covered berries. Does it get any better? You get the yin, you get the yang. You get the sugar and you get the caffeine from the chocolate. But then you say, well, wait a minute, but I'm getting a berry, which is good for me with the omega-3. So you get both, right? Huh? Berries.com, berries.com. Go to the microphone and type in Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. When I come back, Obama says I'm Jewish in my soul to a group of bootlicking liberal Jews at the Hanukkah party, and they ate it up, the most anti-Israel president in history, and they loved him to death, don't you know?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, I'm supposed to only get excited over the American, the national anthem. I mean, you think a conservative, oh, he only salutes the I like the national anthem. But I do like other music. I mean, see, this is the thing, is the stereotype of the right-winger. Everyone stereotypes me. Oh, stereotype, right-winger. They don't know anything about me. They deny my education. They deny my cultural background. They deny my gifts. They deny my generosity. You know, this is what the left does. They smear everybody who doesn't fall in line with the International Communist Rat Party. Now, to go back to the topic of the day, which is 2015, what you'd like me to do in addition to Borders, Language, and Culture, I'm going to do all the topics you've been calling about. And if you have an idea, 855-400-7282. I want to correct something in case you're panicky. Remember I told you I don't put black pepper on my food? Okay, black pepper is the most popular spice in the world. You should know that. I'm not that concerned about it on an occasional basis. But black pepper can irritate the GI tract. It can irritate the urinary tract. It can irritate the prostate. And frankly, I wouldn't consume it frequently in any quantity. I never let a waiter grind their pepper mills over my food at restaurants for a number of reasons. One, I don't know how old the pepper is. Two, I don't know what bacteria is in the pepper grinder. I don't need it. And if I use spices at all, I use garlic, and I prefer red pepper, which comes from a different plant, capsicum, various species, which has no natural carcinogenic activity. And capsicum has a long history of medicinal use. It provides healthful carotenoids. It can lower cholesterol and stimulate circulation. It can help heal the lining of the stomach. It's a very great paradox of medicine that red pepper is actually used to treat ulcers. Would you believe that? The exact opposite of what the medical establishment used to think in the 50s, 60s, is that red pepper would make it worse. It actually can cure, it can heal, rather, ulcers. Because ulcers are caused by a bacterium. You don't know that either. It's not necessarily caused by an irritant. And if you can kill the bacteria in the ulcer, you can probably cure the ulcer. So that's where the red pepper comes in. But the same is not true of black pepper. So it's just a little side note about, you know, food, which is one of the things I'm obsessed with. I have been most of my life, and I want to talk more about that. When it appears, you know, when it comes up, I'm going to always talk about food. And again, I'm not going to get off the topic of food without telling you again. You know, occasionally you can enjoy and indulge yourself, which is frankly why I accepted Shari's Berries as a client. I don't do foods generally as an advertiser. But how can you be tasting chocolate over the most delicious strawberries in the world? And it's cheap, $19.99, 40% savings, free shipping. It's very simple. The deal happens to end tonight. And so make sure you take advantage with my code SAVAGE. The berries are amazing. You must get this for Christmas coming next week. And the only way to get this amazing $19.99 Shari's Berries offer is go to berries.com, berries.com. You go to the microphone, and you click in Savage. Enjoy it. You'll thank me. WMAL, David, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hey, I think you should go more, I would call it a how-to program. In this particular case, the how-to is how to engage in psychological defense and what are the techniques to watch for in psychological warfare.
You mean in discussions with others?
I mean that... Most of what we're seeing in society, in politics, in culture, to a large extent, is deliberate psychological warfare, attempt to manipulate, to intimidate, to...
Oh, yes. In other words, anyone who disagrees with Al Sharpton and the gang of racist bums who surround them, right away they have an immediate knee-jerk reaction as you're a racist. If you side with the police who are defending their lives, you're a racist. I get it.
Hey, I'm mad at my sister for calling me a racist because I disagreed with Obama. But
well, yeah, your sister's a sick person. She suffers the mental illness of liberalism.
That she does, and she doesn't realize where she's quit thinking. On the other hand, she thinks she knows where I've quit thinking.
You know, I understand that you're not alone in this. It's heartbreaking to realize people atrophy and their minds get locked and they can't develop and they can't even see what's in front of their nose. And I talked about it before the last break. Obama had a Hanukkah party at the White House, don't you know, in order to appease the Jews. So he invites all the liberal Jews that you could imagine, and he's heard to say, I'm Jewish in my soul, and they go crazy. Now, this is the most anti-Israel president in modern history. Isn't that true? Who would argue with that?
You think there was an honest person in that audience?
No, but the point is, all Obama had to utter in front of the Jewish crowd is say, I'm Jewish in my soul, and they fell all over him. They don't even know their own history. They're repeating their history all over again. They're celebrating it in the Jewish Journal like the guy is the savior of the world. Look how they end the article. So there you have it. The leader of the free world says he's Jewish in his soul. Oy vey, how happy they are. Well, they ought to look into his history. And I say shame on the American Jewish community, excluding the few Jewish conservatives, for supporting this charlatan. He is the most anti-Israel U.S. president in history. Do you know what he's done? I'll give you the list. He joined the UN Human Rights Council, which calls for a boycott of American companies that do business in Israel. He agreed with Ahmadinejad that Israel's concerns about a nuclear Iran are just, quote, noise. He leaked the Israeli-Azerbaijan airfields deal. He repeatedly insulted Netanyahu, and he blames Israel for the failure of Middle East peace talks. He skipped Israel on his first trip to the Middle East. He told Israel to return to its indefensible 1967 borders without any concessions in return. And on and on and on. And he reaches out to radical Islam across the world. So what can I say? What would you call people like this? What would you call Jewish people who cannot see what he's actually doing? Would you call them gynos?
I would call them very blind. My personal hot spot is...
I would call them gynos, Jewish in name only.
Oh, well, my...
Why don't you tell your sister she's a gyno? Since we use the word rhino for Republican in name only, there, I've given you a new one, gyno, Jewish in name only. That would apply to about 98% of the American Jewish community, I would think.
I would think so, but how do you get them away from that?
They won't... No, you have to understand something. Rigor mortis sets in most liberals' minds at about age 30, if that late in life. Their minds are made up. They're locked in the immigrant mentality. They will not move out of that obtuse position they are in, no matter what reality confronts them. So I would say stop trying. You'll be much happier. You know, a man once wrote that hell is a place where there is no reason. So if you meet a person who you cannot reason with, that person is dragging you into a hell. I would say avoid it.
But how many people are not locked at age 30 or so, regardless of which thing they're locked into?
You know, I have a relative who I love more than myself, more than anyone on earth, and he eats himself alive every day over what Obama is doing to the country, what this racist administration is doing to the races, on and on and on. And you know what I say to him? I said, you know, there's only so much you can do in this world. I said, I do this 3 hours a day. I do the best I can. I think about it after work. I dream about it. But I cannot obsess on this day and night. I cannot change the course of human events. All I can do is do my best. I can write my books and do my show. But you can't change the minds of ignoramuses.
Against ignorance.
I know. Look, what I'm saying is there are people, no matter what you do, you can confront them with Obama's actions against Israel. They're still going to say, eh, you know what? He's still better than the others. He's still better than Bush.
That means that they don't know how to think in any way at all.
I understand, and it perplexes you because you're a man of learning, you're a man of reason. And what are you going to do with people who are not open to reason?
Or who are not open even to listening to an alternate view. That's even worse.
In other words, they're closed-minded bigots in plain English. But you still have to get together with them for family events. I understand that. So at a certain point, you have to say, I'm not going to talk politics with them because it won't get anywhere. And so try to stick to what you can talk about. Family business, the past, the mothers and the fathers, the aunts and the uncles. And stay away from politics because you're not going to, you can't change the minds of the closed-minded liberal bigot.
That's true, but we have to change part of the overall culture and population.
I agree. So I try to do it through my books. And I'll send you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. Why don't you see what happens when you give it to your sister? She won't even read it. She'll throw it down like it's Mein Kampf.
Yes.
If you gave her a copy of my book, Michael Savage, PhD, educated man, super literate, well-researched, 40 pages of references denoting every fact in that book, she'd probably say, don't give me the Mein Kampf because I won't read it. So what does that tell you about her?
I know about her. The thing about being a family is you read your relatives very, very accurately, more so than
Does your sister work for a living?
She did.
What kind of work did she do?
She was a lawyer.
Oh, they're the worst.
One time she even...
No, they're the worst. There's nothing worse than a liberal lawyer on the planet. Karl Marx was a liberal lawyer. Fidel Castro was a liberal lawyer. Look what they did to the world. No, I mean, it's that simple. What, every lawyer is a genius? Every lawyer is a learned man? Not every one of them is an open-minded person. Take a look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She reminds me of the worst-case scenario. You know, your sister reminds me of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I imagine her looking like that, too.
She has far more social skills and fashion sense.
So she doesn't have a mole on her nose?
She does not, and she's the sort of thing that the person always, since she was three, that people would gather around her, a rainmaker type.
Oh, boy, just what the world needs is a charismatic, closed-minded, bigoted liberal. I saved that just for you. I don't mean to insult your sister, David, but you've got real troubles, but you got a Hanukkah Christmas gift coming out to you. Stop the coming civil war. God bless you. Thanks for calling. I got such great callers, and you can't. But here's a great one. KCMO, Kansas City. This is the heartland. You ready for this question, this caller, on the Savage Nation? I'm about an hour and a half away from the airplane. KCMO, Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you're the only guy in the new media that tells us about the horrible toxins in marijuana. And every time you do, I stop smoking the crap for a week.
Yes, let me start again without getting sidetracked with the dope story. I don't care what a person does with marijuana. I could care less. You could eat it if you want. I don't really care. It's not an ethical question for me. It's a medical question for me. And what disturbs me is the closed-mindedness of potheads, where they don't understand that marijuana smoke is more toxic than tobacco smoke. So, oh, don't smoke around them. They're all green and they're pure and they march for Ferguson and they march for global warming. And the little bigots have no idea they're poisoning their brains and their lungs. If you just do a Google search on toxins found in marijuana smoke, you'll find out that they're giving themselves lung and other major organ cancers. But don't try to tell it to them because they'll tell you you're wrong. You could present them with the facts again, but they're wrong. So your question is, how do you stop smoking marijuana? Isn't that your question?
That is my question, because you cannot find anyone that will tell you how harmful it is. They want to be treated.
That's right. Right now, the government is selling everyone on the wonders of this poison herb. And by the way, the person who started this campaign was George Soros. I remember in 1998, I argued with one of his front men, one of the propagandists, who was spending money on getting a medical marijuana initiative in Arizona and California. He put $1 million each. He wanted to dope up the entire nation. And look how successful that devil has been. But let's not go into George Soros's money and how he has tried to normalize marijuana. Again, I want to stick to the medical facts. But you can do that yourself. Just research it quickly on the internet. You want to know how to resist the urge, isn't that?
Yes, I don't know how you can.
Hold it. Marijuana is one of the most addictive of all drugs. And this is one of the things that they will not tell you. Everyone who smokes dope, oh, it's nothing. It's mild. It's an herb. It's natural. I can leave it anytime I want. Nonsense. You ask anybody in the rehab business about marijuana addiction and what it's doing to the young today, and they'll tell you one horror story after another. The current crop of marijuana that is out there is about 17 times more powerful than the hippie era of marijuana back in the 60s. And so the fact is these kids are getting addicted very quickly, and there's a small percentage of people who have the equivalent of an LSD reaction to marijuana, meaning they become overtly psychotic, like on an acid trip. So marijuana is a very deadly drug because people are under the misinformation that it's not a deadly drug. Now, the issue is, since the society is now telling you it's good for you and it's everywhere and it's this and it's that, it's even worse. It's even harder for people to kick it. So what you have to do is this. Do you have children?
Yes, four.
There's your answer. All you have to do is ask yourself, every time you reach for that joint, ask yourself, would you have wanted a father who was a pothead? Would you have wanted a father who was an alcoholic or a marijuana addict? And then look at your children. Every time you want to smoke a joint, say to yourself, let me go look at my kids. Go look in your daughter's eyes. Go look in your son's eyes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Gillespie, Night in Tunisia. the Savage Nation. We're talking about what would you like me to talk about in 2015 in addition to politics. In the next hour, the focus is going to be on Cuba, 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 Cuba. You want to talk about Cuba? We're going to talk about Cuba in the next hour and how Obama is our man in Havana. Or shall I say their man in Washington, because he's found his blood brothers. He has catered finally to the Terror brothers in Cuba, and don't accept that it's just such a benign move. You understand there's much more than meets the eye to this. We talked about it yesterday. I will talk more about it in the next hour. We talked about Sony caving in and pulling the movie The Interview with Seth Rogen and Franco, and what that means in the long term about censorship in America, how Hollywood caved in. And the fact is Hollywood caved in because they didn't have the American government behind them. The American government should have said, no, we'll defend you. We're not going to let the North Koreans sabotage theaters. We're not going to let the North Koreans sabotage Hollywood. We believe in freedom of speech. But no, you didn't hear that, did you? Nope, you didn't hear that at all. The phone number you don't need, the website you need, which is michaelsavage.com, the book you need for Christmas is called Stop the Coming Civil War. And even if you bought a copy, I'm asking you to buy another copy for your liberal sister. Wrap it in a plain brown wrapper and put it under her Christmas tree, and then watch the fireworks begin on Christmas Day. Stop the Coming Civil War from the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to hour number three. The big story is still Obama handing Cuba's Castro a major victory. But believe me, Congress, if we still have one, can still stop it. That's the big news. What's next? Normalizing relations with Kim Jong-un, North Korea? I mean, anything's possible under this lunatic. Congress can stop him. Should they wake up from their sleep, they can do many things to stand up for the prerogatives of the legislative branch. Okay? Exchanging three hardened Cuban spies for Alan Gross establishes a terrible moral and legal precedent. Remember, these spies' actions led to the death of an American in the 90s, and they were convicted. To release them in exchange for Gross, what does that do? It creates an incentive for rogue regimes and casual terrorists to kidnap Americans in this nation and all over the world. Not only does President Crazy Man Obama's action not advance freedom in Cuba, the opposite is true. It throws a desperately needed lifeline to Cuba's aging dictators. They have no other supporter other than Venezuela, which is on the ropes because of their own socialist policies and plunging oil prices. This surrender to the Castros is one of the greatest defeats for America in the last 50 years. But what can Congress do? Many things. Should we let tourists go to Cuba to bail out the regime? Should we give Cuba access to capital markets? There's a U.S. law, the Helms-Burton Act of 1996, which gives the Congress power to override any action taken by the executive to lift the embargo. Now, you can lift the embargo, according to this law, if the dictators, the Castros, would give the Cuban people several rights, freedom of association, freedom of speech, a free political activity. Obviously, President Obama doesn't want them to do that because he's been limiting all of these freedoms here in America. Yes, he has been attacking opposition members of the Tea Party as though they're the enemy themselves. There are many things that Congress can do, but the fact of the matter is, do we really have a Congress or a group of lobbyists? We don't know. By the way, Obama's speech yesterday was filled with Cuba's communist talking points. such as repeating the big lie that Cubans are poor and unfree because of the U.S. embargo, or that Cuba was a U.S. colony until the dictators took over. None of this is true. And yet Obama repeated the words of the Castro dictators. Congress must act immediately to limit the damage given by Obama in this giveaway. If he is left unchecked, Obama will move on to the next crazy item on his list of things to do before he leaves America limp and broken. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. Let's go to the next song on the Savage Nation. I still remember going to these dances in the 50s, stopping at the Palladium Ballroom on 53rd Street and Broadway in New York City above the Rexall's drugstore. And it became famous for its Latin music from 1948 until it closed in 66. I was there in the late 50s, early 60s. And my father would catch me coming home late at night and say, "You'll never amount to anything. What are you listening to that garbage music for?" All right, Dad, I hope you're looking down from heaven and you're smiling. But the fact of the matter is, here's what I want to talk about on the Savage Nation. And I know it's going to be weird. It's going to be a whack job. Like, where did he come from now? Why is he doing this? No, I'm not going to talk about clinical biochemistry. It's something I could do. I could talk about tyramine and it can raise blood pressure and cause cardiac arrhythmias and stroke and how to avoid tyramine in foods. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm planning 2015 now. I'm always a few months ahead of myself. And I'm thinking ahead to 2015, and I'm saying, you know what? Politics are the bread and butter of the Savage Nation. I've always been the man promoting borders, language, and culture for 20 years. But, you know, the election was over in November. We know that we have a one-party system. We know that we have an oligarchy. We know that Obama's an out-of-control egomaniac. We know that John Boehner is a useless opposition. We know that the press has been sold out a long time ago. We know all of that. So to hear it every day is boring to you. I'm going to continue to do the news where the news is of some shock value and you need to talk about it, like today with the movie, okay? But you know what I'm going to be doing next year? You're going to help me know what I'm going to be doing next year. Because I know what I'm going to be doing, but you're going to help shape what I'm going to be doing. I'm moving more into the diversity or versatility of topics that I'm famous for. And I want you to call the show right now at 855-407-282. And I want you to tell everyone listening to the show what you'd like me to be doing in addition to politics. I didn't say instead of. I said in addition to politics in 2015. Because I can spin on a dime. I can go from talking about politics to talking about, well, just about anything that I'm familiar with. Because I have a wide knowledge base. It goes back to my natural curiosity. Not solely my higher education, which is quite extensive, but my natural curiosity. You know, there are many people who are not formally educated who have natural curiosity and have read widely. Remember what I just said, read widely. Something not understood in this day and age was, in the old days when a person was going for a higher degree, like a PhD, they would say she was reading for her exams. That's how it was put. She was reading for her exams. That's how you worked for your PhD. You read for your exams. You had to read a wide variety of books and then be able to talk about it in some rational, literate manner. Now you say, well, okay, that's book knowledge, which is the problem with Obama and many others in that egghead administration. They may have book knowledge, but they don't really understand the world they live in, and they're very mean people like most academics are, mean and petty. But what if you have a wide book knowledge and you have street knowledge? And what if you've been very curious about life since you're very young and you've read widely and you've inquired widely and you're interested in a lot of things as I am? So what topics would you like me to do? I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this. I have a man who has called my show for about 18 years. He used to listen to me on the local station KSFO. He is a palm reader, Vernon Mahal, and Mahalal, I'm sorry. And we don't meet, I never met the gentleman, but I've sent him a Xerox of my palm. And I know many of you are devout Christians or devout Jews, and you know that palmistry is forbidden by the Bible. Okay, not my problem, because I'm open to any area of, any avenue of learning or any avenue of energy that will lead me to a higher power and a higher understanding of myself on this earth. Which is why I spent so many years in the islands and working with folk healers, and you want to call them witch doctors. They weren't witch doctors at all. And you want to mess around with folk healers? You want to mess around with gypsies? Go ahead. Be my guest. Go and insult a gypsy fortune teller anytime you feel like doing it. Because I'll tell you a little story about gypsies one day, as told to me by a very famous Chinese martial artist who insulted one of them and what happened to him. There are powers you have to understand that go beyond the rational on this earth. and many of you understand that. I am going to be moving a little bit more into the areas of, remember the lifestyle shows I used to do on this show? Remember I would be Doc Savage and you'd call me with a problem, a question like, Mike, I'm 28 years old, I want to get married, but, and I would be the older brother, older father, uncle, and answer your questions. Sort of like a lifestyle coach. You say, well, what's your qualifications? My qualifications are that people trust me and they want to ask me my opinion. It's that simple. Many people don't have a father in this society. Many people don't have an older brother in this society. They don't have the uncle in the society that used to exist. So I play those roles on the radio for many people, and it's a role I'm very comfortable in. I can help people. I'm a healer. I have a natural healer's ability. I've always been a healer. Although I'm sort of an isolated personality and live largely on, I like to help people who get close to me. Any people I let near me, I try to make certain they benefit from the relationship. I don't like anyone who comes near me to walk away with a deficit. I want them all to walk away with a positive. You know what I'm saying? That's what I try to do. Am I successful at it all the time? No. I can be a very, very mean person. I can be an irascible person. I lose my temper very easily. I don't have the patience for things. And so as a result, I tend to stay alone with the dog. He puts up with me. And he never asks for anything I can't give him. It's that simple. I know exactly what Teddy wants. I'm more comfortable with dogs and animals of any kind. I like to feed seagulls. I like to see them fight over a bagel. I like to watch the Darwinian struggle over a bagel that I throw into the bay. It always impresses me that if I throw three bagels into the water and there are two birds, they will fight over the same bagel. They will not go to two different bagels. One will go to a bagel, the second one will try to grab it out of his mouth, a third one will swoop in and try to get the first bagel while the other two bagels are floating away. It's called the territorial imperative. I now want to turn the show to the domestic politics in America. Remember, Obama was just roundly rejected at the polls. It was all about him. The American voter hates him. The actual American voter who works for a living hates Obama. They hate the far left. They went to the polls, meaning my audience, and they said, no, yet you're finished. We don't want you. And he came back and he moved as far to the left as imagined. He went as far left, further left than you could ever imagine. Unlike Bill Clinton, who was a skilled politician, who after getting beaten in the midterms moved to the center, this one moved to the far left. So this is all part and parcel of that continuous tripling down on his left-wing fanaticism. Now remember my main point, which is perplexing to me. My main point is, on the face of it, if you were, let us say you're a girl who goes to Columbia University and you were raised on Adderall or Ritalin, and you really don't know anything. Your parents were somewhat liberal or outright red diaper doper babies, and you grew up in New York City, and your attitudes are that of classic liberalism. You would say, hey, what's wrong with this? How do we lose by this? And you don't really understand the context of this or what it really means. And on the face of it, young people really don't even know what it is about Cuba that the older folks care so much about. And that's an interesting situation. Remember, let's go to South America. Chavez, who is now dead. Chavez destroyed the middle class in his nation. Chavez destroyed the middle class in Venezuela. Chavez and his policies are being duplicated by Obama and the sorority that runs America. They're going after the middle class in the same way, albeit at a slower pace. But they decimated the middle class. Castro wiped out the middle class. There's only the ruling Communist Party elite. There are so many things about Castro's communism you should know that are very important. First of all, although they allege to be non-racist, the Castros, as you well know, are Europeans in origin. They are not of African origin, as many Cubans are. Some of the greatest musicians were of Afro-Cuban descent. But the fact of the matter is, they have a very, very low percentage of Africans in the Cuban ruling elite. Did you know that? Despite the lies of the communists who run Cuba, there are almost no blacks in the leadership. That's number one. There are many things you have to know about Cuba, including the fact that gays are quarantined who have AIDS. I think that is still true. Do a fact check on it. They're notoriously homophobic. They have quarantined gays with AIDS on a separate island for many decades. Did you know that as well about your friend Castro? There are things that are worth discussing that are somewhat of the subtext, but sometimes the devil is in the details. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The rum is being poured in the White House because they have finally gotten their way. And the question for you, the audience, is what's the big deal? The average American doesn't care about this normalization with Cuba that was done in the middle of the night. Like in all dictatorships, there is no Congress anymore. As in all dictatorships run by the thin man, being no difference. The dictatorship under the thin man is no different than other dictatorships, in that he does everything in the secrecy of the night. Now, you could argue this is not such a bad thing, but if it's not such a bad thing, why did the sneak do it in the middle of the night? Why did he and the sneaky women who run America do this in the middle of the night? Why did he and the sneaky left-wing fanatics in Congress do this in the middle of the night? Why did he and the sneaks on the left do this in the middle of the night and not bring it before the open light of day? Why didn't they have an open discussion? The answer is because there are many elements to this normalization that we can only begin to discuss. We can't really understand. Some of them are clear. Some of them are not clear. The damage to the middle class, though, to me, is one that worries me deeply, because this is not good for the American middle class. It's very bad for the American middle class. Watch what happens. All of the undesirables of Cuba will be released as refugees and will be sent to the United States of America. They will empty the jails out, and we'll wind up with them as refugees in this country. Wait until you see what happens. If you think the Mariel boat lift was bad, and in some cases it was pretty bad, as you know, he released political prisoners, but amongst them, he also released very serious criminals into America. Watch what happens next. The Vatican's involved. That worries me, since the Pope is an Argentinian socialist. There are other elements of this story that need to be told, which is how they treat blacks in the Cuban government. As you well know, you would think that a socialist paradise like Cuba would have total freedom. They'd have total equality. Don't. There are almost no African Cubans in the leadership in Cuba, almost none whatsoever. They're extremely racist and very insular. You don't know that part of it, but again, that's a subtext that you should know about. There are other elements that will come out, which I think that this is the road to releasing all the terrorists from Guantanamo, because if you know the basics of geography, you know that Guantanamo is on the island of Cuba. So this is definitely something to do with Guantanamo and releasing all the terrorists, because Obama's wanted to do this from the get-go. He's wanted the terrorists released from Guantanamo. The next step will probably be normalizing relations with Iran. They will get a nuclear weapon. And perhaps, God forbid, relations with North Korea will be normalized. And then, of course, the final coup will be a knife in the heart of Israel, where they will be sanctions imposed on Israel. He will have turned the whole world upside down, not for the betterment of the world, but for the goals and perspectives of the far left, the myopic left, that are running this country.
Savage.
You know, I used to say, when I was in my sufferings of your young Vertha phase, as a young 18-year-old, all guys go through it, that whenever I'd hear this Latin music, my spirits would go way up. In other words, whatever was bothering me left me. So I was very, very invested in it. I learned how to play the conga drum. I was never good at it, but I can certainly beat the drum. And I used to love to dance, and my father thought I would amount to nothing as a result, because he said only a bum listens to music like that. And I remember writing in my journal at that time, how can I be, what did I write, a conga-playing, mambo-dancing professional? I didn't understand if I could do, how do you do that? I didn't know how to bridge the gap. Now, today, people do all of it. I mean, there are who are musicians, right? This is not an unusual thing today. A lot of guys came up through that whole period and were able to incorporate their artistic side and their scientific saying, spiritual side. But in the days that I was living, and I was coming from an immigrant family, they were panicked that you wouldn't amount to anything if you were having too good a time, in other words. They didn't want you to have a good time. Miserable. Life's a black and white, gray experience. It's like North Korea. I grew up in like North Korea. That house was like, this is North Korea. There's no pleasure here. And it's not like it's a politics-free day. I must tell you that the movie The Interview, you know, that's a big story. They're going to lose $200 million in sales. It couldn't happen to a bunch of nicer guys. You know, Lin Yutang wrote, one of my favorite authors, a Chinese-American author, Lin Yutang, the happiness, whatever, something about living. I don't remember. I was 18. I was depressed. I found this book. Oh, The Importance of Living. And in The Importance of Living, I was really down. I was going through the sufferings of young Werther, and I was reading very widely, and I found this book actually through a friend's father in his library. The friend and I were playing Latin music in his bedroom, as a matter of fact, and the father came storming up. His father was a classical musician, played in New York Philharmonic. He hated what the kids, conga drums and this and that. Kid was smoking dope day and night. He threw his drums out of the window, but in his library he had a book that I discovered. He was a very well-written man called The Importance of Living. And one of the things that struck me in The Importance of Living was how we have to remember we have animal bodies, and we mustn't just live in our heads. He said, remember you fundamentally have a monkey body, is what he said, meaning you have to be sensual in order to be happy. And that means he wrote chapters of the Chinese point of view, the classical Chinese point of view, on sitting in chairs, on reading a book, on drinking wine, you know, that kind of stuff. And one of the things was happiness consists not in the high flights of poets, but in getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof. That always stuck with me. Now, I don't get my hair cut every 2 weeks, nor do I have many neighbors who fall off their roofs, but I understand the metaphor. So when we see the two of the Rat Pack in Hollywood, the new Hollywood Rat Pack, Seth Rogen and the other guy, I have nothing for or against. And they're talented guys, but big deal. A lot of people are talented. That their movie went up in smoke, and they're now surrounded by bodyguards. It leads you to ask a question. The question is, which country is next going to threaten Hollywood? And which movies will they not be making? This is why you never see movies with Arab terrorists, or rarely. It's because the Caesars of Hollywood are afraid of them. And so the only targets permissible to attack for the Caesars of Hollywood are white Christian males, their stock and trade. After all, haven't they been attacking and mocking white Christian males for at least 50 years, 40 years now? So expect more movies attacking white Christian males in the near future. Let's play the trailer to this movie, The Interview, the beginning of it. Let's hear what it sounded like.
Hello, who this?
This is the Secretary of Communication for North Korea. Our Supreme Leader, Kim Jong-un, is interested in doing an interview with Dave Skylark.
Oh, my God.
We will meet 50 kilometers west of Dangdong, northeastern China.
Did you just say China? And did you just say Dong?
3 weeks from tonight, I will be traveling to Pyongyang, North Korea, to interview President Kim Jong-un.
Mr. Rappaport, I am Agent Lacey with Central Intelligence. You two are going to be in a room alone with Kim, and the CIA would love it if you could take him out. Take him out.
For coffee?
Dinner.
For kimchi?
No, take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What?
I watched every episode of your show in preparation for this interview. I particularly enjoyed the Miley Cyrus Camel Toe episode.
Wow.
Very deep.
All right, you get the drift. It's just slapstick comedy from the younger generation. Seth's a funny guy. I don't know who the director is. It could have been Judd Apatow. I don't really know. He's a funny guy. Does funny movies. I mean, I laugh at a lot of these movies. But apparently the orgy scene with Kim Jong-un and James Franco, not to be confused with Generalissimo Franco, I don't think he's his grandson, might have caused concern. So they went over the top. They picked on a mad dictator who has nuclear weapons, who wouldn't have had nuclear weapons, by the way, with multiple warheads, was it not for Bill Clinton's chief donor. And Bill Clinton's chief donor has a name, who we will name shortly. He's a guy from the Bronx who went in the parking meter business, made a fortune in the parking meter business. Then, because he gave more money to Bill Clinton and the DNC than anybody else, he was able to get access to American technology for launching satellites with our rockets. See, Korea could not launch the rockets, nor could China. Their rockets were blowing up on the launch pads. But thanks to that wonderful man from the Bronx, Bill Clinton's chief donor and the chief donor of the Democrat National Committee, he launched rockets with satellites for China. He said it would never, ever be used for weaponry. Of course, the rest is history. It's only been used for weaponry. As a result of the technology he stole from the U.S. government, They're now able to launch rockets with multiple nuclear warheads. So you can thank the Democrats again for putting us at risk. It's, you know, like what goes around comes around. It's a long story that you don't know anything about. The orgy scene with Kim Jong-un and James Franco might have caused concern. There's a lot of other vile stuff in there about Kim Jong-un, and he probably deserves it given that it's a police state and people's organs are removed for saying the wrong thing about him. But the fact is, it's censorship, and who's going to next threaten us? The Arabs? The Muslim terrorists? As I said, anyone can threaten Hollywood now, and the only ones that can be able to be attacked will be the white Christian male. What's interesting here is that Obama has alienated Russia, starting a third world war with Russia, while reaching out to Cuba. This is an example of the myopic thinking of the girls who are running his administration. The girls from Harvard, the girls from Columbia, the girls from Chicago are running this country off the rails. We are pushing Russia to war, and we are now embracing Cuba. And what will happen next? We don't know under this dictatorship. We don't know what the girls' choir is liable to do next. Are they going to lift sanctions on Iran and North Korea in a week or two while you're celebrating Christmas? Will they then impose sanctions on Israel? And what will happen then? Will he reverse the world order to an extent that you don't even know what's going on? Welcome to the Savage Nation. To me, the big topic is Cuba, Cuba, Cuba. What's interesting to me is that Obama reaches out to dictators in Cuba. He seems to want to reset relations with every dictatorship on the planet. And the only people he will not reach out to are the American people who despise him. The actual taxpaying American people despise this petty dictator who rules by memoranda. This came out that this group of girls that are running the country are so sneaky that instead of using executive orders where he could say, look, my number of executive orders are lower than that of Bush. Well, factually, that's correct. But he's using another tactic, which is he's writing memoranda which have the same effect as executive orders. And in that, he's exceeded that of the last five presidents, by the way. This is the sneak attack by the girls' choir who's running America. There are many elements to this Cuba thing, including the Pope. The Pope, as you well know, is, let us say, a Marxist sympathizer. That's well established by any educated individual. The Pope was the first non-European Pope selected in 1,200 years. Unto itself, that was unusual. And then they picked someone who grew up in the era of communism in the country from which he came. The man has sympathies of Marxism at every turn, and he was working with the Cubans and the Americans for more than a year to make this happen. So the question is, why does the Vatican want relations with Cuba restored? That's one question. And I'm not so sure I have an answer to it. I can't figure it out. The second question is, why does he alienate Russia and push Russia into a corner and open up relationships with Cuba? That's the second question. But in order to do this rationally, we have to go back to the United States embargo against Cuba, which was introduced back in the 60s under JFK. And you don't know this, but JFK did this the same way Obama's doing it. He did it as an executive action. You may not know it, but Democrats are basically always dictators. The Democrat Party is the party not of the people, but the party of communism, the party of a dictatorship. The Cuban embargo is in effect, by the way. And the reason it was in effect, and it's been a complete failure, incidentally, the reason it was put in effect was an attempt to make these merciless dictators, the Castro brothers, somewhat ease their grip on the Cuban people who live in terror. They live in a reign of terror. The secret police operate around the clock, etc. The question is this better for America? That's all I care about. I don't really know. Is this going to be better for America or worse for America? I don't really know. Now, there are principled conservatives who are hardline on this who say, no, you can't do it. Rubio gave, I think, the first good speech of his entire life as to why this embargo, as it were, should not have been lifted. Rubio actually looked good. He's not presidential material. He's a good senator, and that's about it. But he gave a very good speech. Menendez, a Democrat from New Jersey, of all people, came out against the president's action. That's interesting unto itself. Look, my theory, as I expressed in Stop the Coming Civil War, is that there's been a worldwide Marxist revolution in the entire world. The Pope is a Marxist. Obama is a Marxist. De Blasio in New York is a Marxist. The President of France is a Marxist. Go around the world and see what's going on. the puppeteers running the world have carefully implanted Marxists everywhere. We are moving towards worldwide dictatorship, worldwide communism. And that's why he's trying to make nice with Cuba. It really isn't a black and white issue. That's why I'm somewhat ambivalent on this issue. Knowing Obama's instincts, I know that there's some nefarious reason for this sudden change of policy, which he did by fiat in the middle of the night, again, without consulting Congress. This is how this dictator acts. Before rushing off to Hawaii on his three-week vacation, he does a thing like this. What is he saying to the American people? Screw you again? What is he saying to Congress? Drop dead again? Unto itself, it's an insult to the American way of life. He is showing that he's just like the Castros in that regard. On the other hand, this is probably going to be good for the Cuban people, wouldn't you say? Both of the Castros are extremely old. They're octogenarians. They're both ill. They're not going to be around much longer. Perhaps this will usher in a wave of reform in Cuba in an inadvertent manner. That's what I'm hoping for. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. So what could be better to portray how the West is dying than reading this that came out of England, a little news story? EU court rules that fatness can constitute a disability. EU court ruling means that British bosses will be required to treat obese workers as disabled, providing them with larger seats, special parking spaces, and other facilities. It's a disability, according to the emerging communist EU. So what does that mean for the West? It means that the West is dying at a faster rate than you can ever imagine. I don't mind if you're a fat slob, but it's not a disability. It means you're a pig. Unless you have a glandular problem. So that's it. That's obesity. Don't call me on this. That's not what I'm going to talk. I'm giving an example of how the West is dying. That's one example of how the West. What sane nation on earth would treat a self-indulgent fat person as a protected class? When the Taliban are burning teachers alive in Pakistan and shooting children. This is all they got to worry about in the EU? Fatness can constitute a disability? This is all that's on their mind. While the Taliban are murdering little boys and raping little girls. This is what's on their mind in England. Well, we've been talking about a lot of things today on the Savage Nation, including the fact that I, Michael Savage, am I'm going to continue to do the news, views, and reviews I've always done for 20 years, but I'm moving more in the direction of the lifestyle coach. I wouldn't say guru because it's an antiquated term, but an advisor to the masses, personal problems, etc. And we've been talking about that. The news is horrible. Obama handled Cuba's Castro's a major victory, and Congress can stop him, but will they? Obama is implementing amnesty through 10 different memoranda, not by Congress. A single Islamic State militant, Islamic State militant, yeah, Islam, right, oh, it is related to Islam, said he killed 150 women and girls because they refused to marry members of the terrorist group or have sex with them. He even killed pregnant women. Do you understand why I have to move away a little bit from the news? It's too painful for me and for you. The world is in such a mess. Blame who you will. It doesn't matter. But I have the power of a radio show and the power of my writings to do some healing. Within me, there is a healer. And that's the direction I am going to be going in. And we've been talking about that on the Savage Nation. Need I talk about the Sony movie and Kim Jong-un threatened to blow up and kill people if they watch a movie? I mean, who's next? If we do a movie, the only target left would be, let us say, conservative white Christian males, knowing that I know will blow up a movie theater if they're ridiculed. So go ahead now, all of the psychos in Hollywood. That'll be the new target. Christians going into churches. They'll be the only people they can ridicule. They won't do it to Muslims. They wouldn't do it to Hindus. They wouldn't do it to Buddhists. So the next target of Hollywood, the psychopaths of Hollywood, will be white Christian males, like they've never been targets before, right? Sure. Well, we're on the beginning of the end and the end of the beginning, okay? It's almost the end of 2014, almost the beginning of 2015. We know who Obama is. We know that we have a do-nothing Congress. We get it. But for me to talk about that for all of next year is not of any interest to me. What? It's like sucking air into a tooth that needs a filling. All you're going to do is get a headache every time you hear it. Now, how many times can you hear the same thing? I'm not saying it's not important to know the news and for me to interpret it, and I will be doing that. I need to move in another direction, okay? And I'm going to try to do that in a way that you still stay interested in the show. And that's it for the Savage Nation today. Remember this, pray for America. Good night and God bless America.
Savage.